Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Throne this morning, and I don't care what anybody says about anything, our God is greater, He's stronger, and God can do anything. And we know what Ephesians 3:20, unto Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. So that is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us, and God can do anything. He truly is omnipotent, and don't forget this principle. If the God of creation spoke ex nihilo, okay, it means out of nothing. God did not have to go to the celestial pile of wreckage to pull some matter together and form earth. God spoke it into existence. Therefore, if He can speak everything that we have, everything out of nothing, do you think the problems that you and I are facing are anything to Him? Stop believing that, or believing the lie that God is too busy, that God can't be anywhere at one time. God is ever present. He's everywhere. Don't forget that. He has it under control. Doesn't matter if everything seems stacked against you, God has it under control. There's not a situation that we will face that He can't fix. And right now you're probably going, if you only knew, Brother Jonathan, I want to just tell you, if you only knew. What I'm saying about that is, what did God do with Gideon? Whittled the army down to nothing. Why? Because the battle's the Lord's. And if we go into battle with a stacked deck in our favor, are we going to give God the glory? No, the tendency is we're not going to. We are going to tend to say, wow, look what we did. But when everything seems hopeless, when it's the fourth quarter and everything is stacked against you and there's only a few seconds and a sense on the clock, the reason that God allows that to happen is so that He will receive all the glory that He deserves, all the thanksgiving and the praise, so that you and I will undeniably recognize that it was His hand, because great is His faithfulness. He is faithful. So no matter where you're at this morning, please recognize that and understand that. Nations will rise and nations will fall, but the word of our Lord will endure forever. Please understand that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are sheltered in the shadow of His wing. No greater place to be when everything seems hopeless and the promise of God to never leave us and never forsake us. So I pray that you cling to those this morning. I want to welcome all of you, visitors, regulars. It's an honor to have you. Those online, I want to apologize about Wednesday night. Many had said they wanted to listen to that or share it with others who had not been able to come. And I made a stunning error of forgetting to turn my mic back on after prayer request. They usually mute it, but the normal people were out that night. And I turned it off because I didn't want to hear the church only hear me singing. I wanted Eddie to be able to use his gift for the Lord. And I forgot to turn it back on. And only about halfway through the service did I remember to turn it back on. They might have come and bulldozed my house if they had the first half on, so that might be why it wasn't on. Amen? So God has a reason for everything, and I'm thankful that even in that, there was a reason. Though we can't understand it, we know that if nothing else, you got a good lesson in trying to read lips. Good luck with reading mine. Amen? If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, with the Bible dinner, there should be a sign-up sheet this evening out back here, so please make sure you sign up so we know how many to prepare for. If you read, please come. Do everything in your power to come to that. It will encourage you with everything in you. I mean this. We're going to have plenty of ability to distance ourselves, but God's going to use this, I know, the testimonies, just as He did last year with the Southern Baptist Convention, the Tennessee Baptist, and the story that they did on that. It encourages others when they hear how God has used His word in your life this year. So please, please plan, if you read through the Bible in 2020, to be a part of that. I promise you will leave there that night blessed, bigger than you can ever. You've never been involved in one, and this is your first one. You will leave there blessed like you cannot begin to imagine. I pray, though, that as you came in this morning that you feel like you have come home to family. I always want you to recognize that though I am not biologically in the earthly sense related to you, we are related with the DNA, a biology that is much greater, and that's through Jesus Christ. That is the tie that binds, the true one that matters. I always get bothered when I hear someone say, well, are they blood? I don't know why, y'all, it just crawls over me the wrong way when somebody sees us in public and goes, well, are these your blood kids? Yes, they are. Amen? But I don't know why, for some reason, there is this, in the South especially, we have this thing of giving a greater importance to something that's blood. I never thought I could love a child that was not mine biologically as much as my own, and man, was I wrong. Amen? What a gift that God gives us to have ones that you can love just like you love your own. And I just pray today, though, that is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're my brother and you're my sister. We are related. And don't get tied up in this earthly stuff, because brothers and sisters, it is passing away. And I'm thankful for it too, because if you would love to hang around this world for another 100 years, you've got something wrong with you. I can promise it's not going to get better. Well, wait a minute, Brother Jonathan, you sound like you're a little on the pessimistic side. No, I know what God's word says. And it says, so are the days of Noah, so will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So why would I say that I don't want to hang around? I want to finish the work that God has for me, and I'm ready to go home to be with him. I don't want to stay in the brokenness of this world longer than God's purpose and plan for my life is. You would have to have something wrong with you, actually, to not desire to go and be in the presence, in the perfection, and in the glory of the God that sent his Son Jesus to die for us. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what is in store for those who love him. So I pray today, if you're here and you don't know that peace of God that passes all understanding, that you'd come to saving faith in Jesus Christ this morning. As we were able to see in that baptism last week, a sister who professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repented of her sin, and turned to Christ for salvation, and seeing that birth as that demonstration to us of laying down that old life, being washed in Christ and raised to walk in that newness. I hope that that encourages you as much as it does myself. And if you've never experienced a true life-transforming work of God through salvation, recognizing you're lost and understanding the separation, but also that Jesus Christ is the one and only one that can bridge that gap, as we don't have anything to bring to him but our brokenness. But he loves us so much, he paved the way for us. He created that gateway. And if you don't know that, I pray this day will not close without you recognizing that, but then professing him and confessing your sin, professing him as Lord, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead 3 days after dying for your sin, and today wants to create in a new walk, a new relationship with you as a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. I hope you found this morning's scripture of Ephesians. We're going to look at chapter 5, verses 15 through 21 this morning, of a message, verse 20, 15 through 20, of a message titled, How to Live. And if you're able physically today, let's stand out of reverence this morning for the reading of God's word. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless action, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you this morning for this privilege we have to hear your word, God, to assemble together, Lord, to exalt, to glorify, and to lift up your name. Father, I thank you this morning, God, that we were not in fear, not able to go forward this morning and allow God's word to go forth and go forth in power, Father, but we recognize that you are the giver of life, that there our days have been ordained before the foundations of the world. Father, I thank you today, We are acting in wise manner. Father, you are able to protect us, to guide us, to lead us. But this morning, you're able to save the broken, the lost, the hurting, through the proclamation of your word and the power that is within that word. God, hide me behind the cross today so that you might do what only you can do. And we ask this in the mighty and precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 15 and 16, again, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. First thing that I want to share with you comes out of those two verses this morning. And one of the things that I really want to purpose to do, I want to give you something that you can take home and apply to your life. It's what my prayer is, as I pray and seek God's face for what I'd share. We want to be able to apply. It's one thing to hear, but we need to apply God's word to our life. How can this make a tangible difference in my life, in a sense, spiritual toolbox to go out into a world that is contradictory to everything that we represent, and then to effectively use those tools? That is my prayer. I do not want to send you out ill-equipped. I want you, as you hear and are able to put these things in the toolbox, and then you in your own personal time in God's word, and as the Spirit speaks, I want to see you fully equipped to engage what the Bible clearly and explicitly says that we're going to engage in. We are engaged in warfare. Anybody in here would deny that you're engaged in warfare? Well, I'll tell you, if you don't believe that, go to the end of Ephesians and read in there about the armor. Why in the world would God give us this scripture that talks about us being armored up and able to stand against the enemy's schemes if we're not in a war, a battle? We'd look like a blooming fool to show up at Bloomingdale. I don't think Bloomingdale's probably out of business now. Belk, maybe it's out of business too. I don't know. A department store. Probably don't even call them that anymore, right? Some of y'all are looking at me like you don't know what one is either. There are these places that used to have stuff in them, and you didn't go to a department store with armor on. You'd look like a fool. They'd call the police, and they'd do a 5150 hold on you to find out if you're mentally competent to re-enter society. You wouldn't do that, would you? So I don't think God's word would have us talk about the spiritual armor and the importance of it if it was not something that was extremely important to us. So therefore, my desire as a shepherd is to equip the saints to go out into a mission field, because God's command, by the way, it is not a suggestion. It's not titled the Great Suggestion. It's titled the Great Commission. We are commanded to go ye therefore and make disciples. End of story. Whether we like it or not, doesn't matter if you're a people person or not, an obedient follower of Christ desires to be obedient, and in that is the call to go and make disciples. So we as sheep are to go out and reproduce sheep. We are to go out there and to share the gospel, to share hope, and allow the toolbox to be used, because what is God going to do as we scatter the seed? He is going to do what? The Spirit of God is going to obediently, with our obedience, he's going to honor that, and God is going to bring, it's not about us being the Lord of the harvest, amen? All it is about us being the one that goes out there and spreads the seed, shares, and you know what? Yes, some's going to fall on rocky soil. Some's going to fall on trampled soil. But there are ones that are going to fall on good soil. And the Lord is going to, God's the Lord of the harvest. So you and I are to go out in obedience. We're not to be worried about whether it falls on rock, whether it falls on the trampled soil. It is not ours to do that. We are not the judge. We're not the harvester. All we are is called to do it. And what I'm praying that this does, though, is equip us to go out there and do our part. Because if we do our part, God's promise is that he will do his part. And when we stand firm, we stand up and we stand out, and we allow the reflecting power of the gospel and a reflection of God's glory to be seen in us, it is transformative. Amen? When you send that Bible verse out, the one I send out in the morning, and many of you have told me you have your own list that you send it out, and you've shared some of these stories about how people have been blessed and how people have been encouraged and sometimes convicted as a result of those Bible verses. Well, how could that do that, Brother Jonathan? It's not anything that we do. It is the power of God's Word. God's Word changes lives. It is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And when you and I are in a state of mind that we should not be in, you get in God's word, and I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll fillet us like one of those sushi chefs, if you've ever watched one of those work. It will flat lay us bare. Why? Because it has power. The power of the gospel changes lives. And this morning, as we see this, the first thing I said out of this two verses is, be careful. It's the first thing I want to share with you this morning. Be careful. Oh, be careful. Careful of what? Well, this 5, verse 15. Pay careful attention, what? To how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise. In verse 16, making the most of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Well, I don't believe it takes a rocket scientist to understand that one, does it? Another thing I would encourage you to do, if you're not a note taker, I would challenge you to begin to be one. Not just because I'm ADD, but because all of us are so inundated by information that it's very easy not to retain things that are very important if we don't write it down and then go back and spend a little time in it. I would encourage you, if you're not a note taker, to start taking notes. Get a little spiral-bound notebook, get a little small one, and you can bring it on Sundays. And just start writing little things down to help trigger and remind you of these things in your toolbox spiritually. Because I promise you, these things we need to commit to memory to help us understand this being careful. What do we need to be careful of? Well, how we walk. Well, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm doing what I do. And if they've got a problem with this, it's their fault. Not wrong. You're spiritually out of bounds right there. Why? Because the Bible talks about if something caused our brother or sister to be offended, we shouldn't do it. If you go by your sister, brother in Christ's house with Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll every morning because that's what you listen to on the way to work, and you go by your brother or sister in Christ's house and they get bothered by that, what are you going to do? Well, ain't my problem. First of all, I'd challenge you to stop listening to that. I'd challenge you to do what Colossians chapter 3, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. I would challenge you to get on Spotify and put old Hezekiah Walker in there. Which one was that song name again? Jessica, what is it? Every Praise. Put Hezekiah Walker, Every Praise in there, and I'll tell you what, you will flat out go walking in the Spirit. Matter of fact, you better watch because you'll speed to work when you listen to that because it will flat charge you up spiritually. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What do I want to get out? Well, I know that I want to get out the things of the Lord and the things of the Spirit, so I want to put the things of the Lord and the Spirit in there. It doesn't have to do with me being more Christian or spiritual because of what I watch putting in my body. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I make it a habit to eat Twinkies and double quarter pounders with cheese, friends, who is going to be my very dear friend? The cardiologist or Docal funeral home? Because you're going to be graveyard dead ultimately. You can't eat garbage and expect your little heart to go, wow, that's amazing. It's going to go, whoa, I can't handle that. And you're going to flop over one day. You've got to be careful what you put in, not only in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense. Set your affections on those things above, not on the things of the earth. You want to choke yourself and make yourself a miserable person? You just go home and turn on yourself a little TV. Go ahead and turn on the news. Enjoy it. Don't talk to me about it. You know what it is? North Korean propaganda. That's what's on TV right now, friends, if you're watching any of the major networks. That's exactly what it is, and I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of the duplicity and the double standard that I've watched just this week alone as they went and burned down last year cities in this nation with not a word said. Tell them how amazing it was. Then all of a sudden, we've got round-the-clock, 24-hour day, 7 days a week, we're getting the same of what? Oh, the opposing viewpoint. Is that not amazing? Isn't that unreal? But you know what the problem is? It's not politically correct. So nobody wants to hear it. It's only politically correct when that viewpoint doesn't align with what you want to believe. Oh, I'm scared to death if I say something about what happened in Portland and all over the nation. Oh, somebody might label me politically. I don't care what they call me. I really don't care because I know one thing. I see the duplicity. I am not blind.
And like I said Wednesday night, I might look dumb, but I'm not half as dumb as I look. Be careful. Pay attention to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, because they will reel you in hook, line, and sinker. And instead of being one that honors Christ Jesus, you'll start honoring what? Political correctness will be your God. They can reel them. They're reeling them in left and right, even in Christian seminaries right now. They're reeling them in with doctrines and theologies that are completely contradictory to God's word and truth. Let's focus on the gospel, brothers and sisters. That's what's important. Amen? Don't try to be socially relevant, because I can promise you one thing. You will fail miserably if you try to line up with a political doctrine. You better line up with what closest resembles a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't help what a person does and the way that they live, but you can allow your political views to best align with God's word, and you can sure enough know when exterminating the unborn children is the number one priority of a platform that's something a Christian should have nothing to do with. And it's not politically correct, but I don't care. I care about what God cares about, so therefore I am very careful, because it's very easy to be taken with lies. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And the second comes out of verses 17 through 19, says, so don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. Now, the second thing that I want to share with you comes out of those two verses, and it is this: be wise and thoughtful. Be wise and thoughtful. So we need to be careful how we live, but then we need to be wise and thoughtful. See, a foolish man never discerns what God's will is. I've known many Christians, and at times in my life, I have been guilty of it myself. Not seeking to discern what God's will is, but making a judgment or a decision based on the Gibeonite deception principle that it looks like a duck, smells like a duck, quacks like a duck, so why surely it's a duck. If you want to go out and buy a car and you say, well, okay, this car is whatever thousands of dollars, and they said my payment will be $350, I can afford that. So, you know, honey, what do you think? Well, it sounds good, let's do it. If you have not prayed about that, you just made a grievous error. What do you mean? You should pray to the Lord about something like that? Oh, okay, excuse God from your financial decisions and tell me where that gets you. Invite Him to your financial decisions and tell me the blessing that results from that. Because Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him. All of your ways. You're seeking His direction. You don't know what God wants you to do, so you're saying, God, this looks like it would be a decision that you want us to do. Father, if this is not your decision, close the door unequivocally. If we go in there tomorrow and it's not yours, Father, make sure that it's sold or something happens. Lord, shut the door plainly. What have you done? You've invited God to the process. You know what you end up with? A blessing. How many people in here, I'm raising my hand first because I know, how many people have invited God to a financial decision and you regret it? Let me go, can I put my feet in the air too? Anybody else know what that's like? Didn't that give you the warm and fuzzies when you experience that? No, not me. Matter of fact, it gives me a little bit of PTSD, post-traumatic stress, thinking about the times in my life when I have not made wise decisions, and sometimes it took a few years in feeling the pain of those decisions. But yes, God is faithful, God forgives, but at the same time, sometimes there are consequences to choices. Living in faith is a whole different ballgame than living in disobedience. Totally different thing. But see, those foolish men, they don't discern God's will. See, a wise person, though, has everything in front of them to discern God's will. And if you're a wise person this morning, are you utilizing the tools that God's given you to discern His will? Again, it's one thing to have those in your toolbox, but are you genuinely utilizing those in your decisions? It's a question we all have to ask ourselves. I love the motto with Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't have any other option at my home than to glorify and honor Christ. So therefore, that's what I say. God, that's my default. And when you stay in that default and say, Lord, this is going to be the heartbeat of our home, our hearts, our life, then what you do is you push yourself to a default that is contradictory to what the flesh and the human nature desires to do. But if you wake up every day and you don't say, Lord, I choose this day who I will serve, and me and my house, Lord, I will serve the Lord, guess what your default becomes? Self-service, self-loathing, self-pity, selfish, any and everything, it all comes down to poor me. Anybody else recognized and felt that in your life? It's not fun, it's painful. People said before, you know, you say, well, Brother John, it seems so easy for you, you know, and you know, you say those things, but you really, you know, you really believe what you say. Well, yeah. You kind of know me by now enough to know I don't have anything that would compel me to stand up here and blow hot air for 45 minutes. You might think so, but I will promise you from my past and the ability that I have to go and make a living for myself, I don't have any motivation to stand here and blow hot air for 45 minutes. What I know is God's word, his will, and his way works. How often does it work? All the time. Wait a minute. You mean if I pray about this today and give it to him, by tomorrow morning he's going to turn this? No. It's not in our time. It's in God's time. Have you got a disastrous wreck in your family right now? You can imagine having a runaway train going down the hill. Yep, God can stop it, boom, instantly. But I'll tell you what he does a lot of times. He gets us to where we almost go to the bottom, over the edge of the cliff, where old Marty McFly in Back to the Future, y'all remember, I don't know which one it was, where they were going to go over that cliff, or over the whatever it was, whatever valley. And hey, they were getting ready to go over that thing before, boom, they disappeared and right went back in time. Sometimes God waits right to the last moment to see if we are going to trust him and in faith say, God, I know that you're going to do this. And Lord, if I perish, I perish. Though you slay me, yet I'll trust you like Job said. See, we've got to be wise and we've got to be thoughtful in utilizing what God has given us in obedience. And we've got to be careful even in that, not to fall victim to our own mental reasoning, which sometimes is one of our worst enemies. Seeing things for what we think they should be, or rationalizing those instead of in faith following what God's word, his will, and his plan is for us. You probably heard that old saying before, it's better for people to think that you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. We can sit there all day long and say, I tell you what, I know God would want me to do this because it just makes sense. Oh, no, it doesn't. Over and over again in the Bible, guess what? It made sense for Ananias and Sapphira to hold back a little of the money of the land that they had to sell. And you know what's so amazing? They didn't have to do it. Nothing stipulated that they had to sell this land and give any of it to the Lord. But what they did is they lied to the Holy Spirit of God. They took what could have been so great and such a great blessing of not knowing their left hand what the right hand said and just saying, hey, I just want to give this. Not, we sold this land and we're giving all of it. No, just be quiet about that. Stop blowing your own horn. Hey, we want to be a blessing. They not only took away their blessing, but they brought on a curse. And it cost them their lives. Don't be the fool who goes around ready to argue and fight. Don't be the person that goes around half-cocked all the time, just ready to unload on somebody. Be the person that is long-suffering, is patient, kind, gentle, self-controlled. If we have not love, we're a sounding gong, a clanging cymbal. We can have all mysteries. We can and do anything. But if we don't have love, we are nothing. What is love? Love covers a multitude of sin. Be wise, be thoughtful, church. And then down in verse 20 there, it's giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the final thing I want to share with you this morning, all right, we've got to be careful, be wise and thoughtful, and then be thankful. Be thankful. You know, you hear me all the time with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In all things give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you." I had just learned that when I was in the wheelchair many years ago. Emily had just left for her grandmother's for 2 days at Thanksgiving. I was home in the wheelchair. I woke up that morning to go get my coffee, and I went to the refrigerator. I noticed there was water coming out from under it, and I was like, "Oh, that's not good," you know, and I ended up opening it up, and the refrigerator had decided to go 10-7, out of service, dead. It failed to operate any longer that night, and everything was melting in it, and the water was running out the front of it. But I remember saying, "Oh, no, I can't do anything. I can't go get a refrigerator. I can't unload this. I just have to just, I'm at the whim of this refrigerator." So then I kind of noticed after I got done assessing that it felt a little bit chilly in the house. Remember now, this is Thanksgiving morning. Didn't have church people to call. I didn't have any. I was alone. So I remember as I wheeled to the wheelchair, opened the back door, wheeled out on the back deck, and I looked out there at our Hardy heater, there wasn't no smoke in the chimney, which means there ain't no fire in the furnace. So I rolled my little self out there, and I opened up the door, and it was out. And I remember right at that moment, I'll never forget it. I can still literally, as if it was yesterday, I was getting ready to drown myself in self-pity. And it literally was a point of almost crying. I probably would have. And I remember what happened immediately was the verse that I was learning came to my mind, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And you know what I did for the next few hours? Out loud, over and over and over and over. And it had to be hundreds, if not 1,000 or more times, I repeated that verse. And I would not allow the enemy to take captive my thoughts. Then I go back in the side, so I'll just slip my little self in the bathtub. And there was water in the bathtub. What does that mean? Oh, your septic pump's out. Can it get any better? See, we don't realize. It's so easy to curse God and get mad and frustrated. Now, Lord, why? Well, see, God's word says in all things, give thanks. For this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things, give thanks. It doesn't say in some things, in the things that line up with what we think we deserve. If it's something that has happened in our fashion, our manner, the way that we think, yes, that's when we should give. No, in all things, give thanks. All of them. Whether it's your refrigerator that goes out, and then the next thing is your heater is out and you're in a wheelchair and then your septic pumps out. What does that mean? Oh, well, then we've reached the limit and now it's okay for us to get mad. No. In all things, give thanks. So it doesn't matter if your car's broken down, if your husband, wife, you are sick, your kids are sick, and you've lost your job and you don't know how you're going to make it. What are you supposed to do? In all things, give thanks. For this is what? God's will in Christ Jesus concerning us, you, me. There's two ways we can do this. We can do it with an attitude of thanksgiving, being careful not to give the enemy an out. We can be wise in our decision to do that and trust God and be thankful in the midst of the storms, knowing that there is a glorious rolling back of the clouds that will happen at whatever point God divinely allows that to happen. He has a purpose and a plan in the midst of that storm. But are we going to be the one that trusts in that, rests in that, and then sees the glory of that plan unfold? Or are we going to listen to Job's wife, curse God and die, let's be done with it, never experiencing the blessing of God's supernatural provision, but also the growth that occurs within these storms and these trials and tribulations, enabling us to minister to others down the road who are going to go through something similar in the future, that God knows He is preparing us for that ministry and that mission, My question now is, I wonder how many people throughout history God had allowed circumstances that had they been faithful, they'd gone through and allowed God, James chapter, what? Consider it pure joy when we face trials of any kind. Perseverance must finish its work so we'll be complete. And God was preparing them for a purpose to minister to someone down the road that God had divinely orchestrated the ability for them to be a blessing to and in turn be blessed through that. How many people never realized that and walked away from it, cursed God and die in a sense, never got to experience it? I think it's a whole lot more than we could ever imagine. Because we struggle with the flesh. We struggle with falling victim to our emotions. Emotions are a horrible indicator of what we should do. Always. Emotions are horrible compasses. But I'll tell you what, the unchanging truth of God is an amazing compass. His ability to turn us in a direction, and when we see him leading, go, what is this for? But see, as I say over and over again, it's about this. I've got these. Please get with me if you don't have one. Put it in your wallet. Your piece of history and eternity from God to you. No refunds, exchanges, excuses, exceptions. Management, God. This is you and I every day. Will you tell me what this puzzle is? Anybody? Tell me what it is. Where does this go in the puzzle that's right there? Tell me. I want to put it down so we have somewhere to start. Again, you'd be a fool, and I would be a fool if we believed that we could set it down in any ability to have order and know where that piece goes. We don't know what the picture looks like. We know that this is a part of it, and without this piece, the picture's not complete. How many times, instead of being thankful and instead of saying, God, here I am today, how many times, ready? How many times we've gone, I'm sick of this. And God was never able to use us that day. Because why? We despaired. We allowed selfish inclinations, the selfish desires of us, to just be done. How many times have we not been able to do that and trust God? Does that mean that it always works out the way that we think it should? No. No. We've got some families hurting right now in our church. We also have others that God has brought out of this. See, the promise of Romans 8:28 is that all things work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Does it ever make sense? I know what God's doing. No, it's not for us to know. Does God give us a glimpse sometimes of his glory and the ability to see how a hurtful, traumatic, life-transforming decision has been be able to turn and be used? Yes, we've seen that happen. But does it mean that God has the right, or that, does he have an obligation? No. He still is trustworthy and true, and his promises are always on time. Not mine, but his time. It's all about waking up and doing this. Yes. I have a dear brother that I've been encouraging in Scripture. I've shared some verses a few days ago, going through a really tough time right now, and I just shared some Scripture and told him to write it down. He's been writing it down, and he's been memorizing it. And it's kind of a almost a whole life change from what he has done in the past. And it was awesome because I guess it's 3 or 4 this morning. He was up and I called him and he just said, you know, man, I found another verse and I've been, those verses you share with me and I'm committing them to, and he goes, you know, it's just so awesome. He said, I had an awesome sleep last night. I said, brother, that's the power of the word. It's the power of God. How many of us in this building are not committing Scripture to memory? When the enemy comes at you, you don't have any armor. It's like you're standing there buck naked spiritually. You have nothing. Nothing. Why? Because you've invested nothing spiritually. And what happens when things start going bad? Oh, Lord, why would you do this to me? Oh, I can't believe it, Lord. What have I done? Nothing. That's right. You've done nothing. That's why. Because we're assured defeat. Because it says with the full armor that we will be able to stand and extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Let me see one of you go out to play paintball with no clothes on. Go for it. You look like one of those dogs, the black and white ones. A Dalmatian with small spots all over your body. In a few days, there'll be big bruised spots. Nobody in here would do that, would we? But yet we walk into a spiritual realm with no spiritual armor on. And we wonder why we're getting whipped up one road and down the other. Men, why our families are being subjected to defeat. Why? Because dads, we're the first line of defense. And when you and I don't have this connected, this never, never good. How many dads would you say, you know, if I'm honest right now, I can't believe my family hadn't been obliterated. You know when the ship turns around? The old boat begins to turn around when you and I recognize that this hadn't been handed every single day. It's not a one-time choice. Brothers, listen. It's every single day if you're going to be the man that God's created you to be. God's got to be number one all the time. Heard it best with Kevin Lane's vow to his precious little wife when I was doing their marriage ceremony less than 2 months ago. When he said, I vow to you that God will be number one. Because she can never be, I can never be for her what I need to be, Lord, unless you are first. To God be the glory, amen? A young man at his age that recognizes that, oh my goodness, you give us you get 1,000 of him right there, and I'll tell you one thing, the whole world's going to come to Christ. That kind of passion and desire to honor Christ and recognize how important that is. It's vital, men. It's vital to know that we can't be what God has created us to be until He's number one. It happens when we're careful, when we're wise and thoughtful, and when we're thankful. It happens when in all things we give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. And it happens when we wake up in the morning and we choose to allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength, even though our physical, carnal flesh is not feeling it. We choose to wake up in the morning with the joy of the Lord emanating from us, even if it looks like a really bad hairpiece moment, where your smile, they go, wow, that's fake. Fake it till you make it then. Why? Because sometimes we have to allow the joy of the Lord to transcend what our external feels like or what we're going through in the external. Does that mean all the time when you have a joyous smile, Brother Jonathan, that everything is sunshine and roses? No, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I rise above my external circumstances in Christ, and only in Christ. See, thankful people are obedient people. What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Don't only be hearers of the word, and so deceive yourselves, be doers also. This morning, the scriptural call is a call to obedience. Have you been thankful in 2020? You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen so much stuff, not even here, not in church-wise, but external things and articles about how people, I'm so ready to get 2020 open. I mean, just go on and on. I mean, it's like a litany of just negativity and just, ugh. as followers of Christ, we can't have that. As I shared with you last week or the week before when I was telling you that, hey, I hope we never lose the mindset of 2020. Because family has become so much more important, and fellowship in the body of Christ, we've recognized how quickly this privilege can be gone. How fast. I hope we never forget 2020 and the amazing things that God used 2020 for or could have. If we stop looking at everything as that thing that's hindering us from being our best and instead recognizing that God has a reason for it, a divine purpose for 2020, and I pray it compels a revival, begins one, ignites one, that has another work of God that makes the revivals of Jonathan Edwards look like a joke, and that Christ doesn't come back for 500 more years. That means a whole lot more people get saved. Scripturally, it's hard to mesh those two, but hey, I'm not God. Who in the world would have given 10 cents for that place that Jonah was supposed to go, Nineveh? Who would have given 10 cents to believe that Nineveh would have been there 2 weeks after God told Jonah to go? I wouldn't have. Again, you'd have been a fool to put your money on the fact that Nineveh, because God said, I'm going to destroy it. Look what God did. Yeah, God had to, when Jonah put his puzzle piece in his pocket and said, I'm going on a cruise, man. God had to break bad on him. But when he went, look what happened. The people repented. And God didn't destroy Nineveh. What purpose and plan in your life right now is going to be destroyed if you don't get out off the cruise at the next stop and go back and do what it is that God is leading you to do? What in your life is having to have to be taken away before we realize what is so precious, and get our spiritual house in order so that we are able to realize the blessing of these things that God's given us? Don't wait until there's loss to give thanks and appreciate what God has in our life now that in so many instances has become so mundane, so monotonous, even family. Don't take for granted those husbands, wives, children, brothers, sisters, moms, dads. You know, I'm always going to be able to pick up. No, there'll be a day you can't. Don't wait until you're filled with regret at what you could have done and should have done. Do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. You'll know the number of times in my lifetime that I've had someone sit in front of me in unimaginable anguish, wishing they could go back for one more moment to say, I love you, to give that hug one more time, to go and sit down and share one more meal with someone who was taken from them in a moment's notice, that they were going to spend time with in a short period of time. It was just a matter of time, and we're going to finally, there's a song from those, I guess the 70s called Cats in the Cradle. The man that wrote that song, if I remember correctly, is that not Harry Chapin Carpenter? Harry Chapin Carpenter was touring that summer. That song was a number one hit. His wife, he called home to his wife. His wife says to him, Harry, when are you going to listen to your song? To which his reply was, when I finish this tour this summer, I'm coming home and I'm going to spend the time so I do not squander the opportunity, because his son was very young at that time. He never made it home. He died that summer. It's ironic that he wrote a song, lived that song, and never got the ability to even finish living that song out in any form. Be thankful, church. Be thankful. Are you going to purpose to allow 2021 to be careful, wise, thoughtful, and thankful? It's not going to happen unless you, in a sense, step back today, do an introspective look at your heart, and get honest with yourself. Get honest with yourself. Are you so concerned about dying that you're not living? Let me tell you one thing. You better, if you are so scared to death of dying, church, you better look at the spiritual root of an intense fear of death. I desire to depart, which is by far much greater. I'm not living fatalistically, foolishly. No. But I know one thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't fear death because I'm going to be with my King of Kings, my Lord of Lords, my Savior, my Redeemer, my God, my rock, my foundation, my everything. And I trust the promises of God and that Jesus Christ is the born Son of Man that came to die for my sin, was crucified, and 3 days later rose from the grave. And I know it is not my righteousness that will get me there, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was able to be placed on my account, paying my sin debt in full. And I know one day when I stand in the presence of the Lord, I'm going to see countless millions that I have never met before. And I will know them better than I know you. And when you get there, you will know them as like you also have known them forever. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look into his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day. Church, I hope you long for that day. I hope you, in a biblical sense, in a sense, daydream about that, about what it's going to be like when you look at Revelation chapter 3 and 4, and you see the throne of God and the worship that transpires around God's throne. Oh, I can't imagine how awesome it's going to be. I can't begin to fathom how incredible it is going to be in a place where there is no more night. There's no more tears. There's no more hurt. The old order of things will have passed away and all things will be new. What are you longing for this morning? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Why are you trying to hold on to this life? Church, why are we as a culture trying to do everything to extend another 10, 15. You know, you got Larry Ellison, I think he said, oh, we're about the place where we'll be able to extend life to 1,000 years. Who in the world, in their right mind, would want to be on this earth more than even 103 or 4 years? Can you imagine hanging around this wretched, depraved place for 1,000 years? I can't fathom it. If you'd say yes, I'd like to talk to you and hear why. Because I can't imagine. Are you ready to allow the enemy to define your 2021? Or are you ready for the Spirit of God to direct you in how you live so that you can live that abundant life that Jesus Christ died to give you as a part of his purpose and his plan for his glory, his kingdom, his power, his honor, in his service? Today, if you recognize, as you've done that introspective look, that things are not in line with what you know God's word says, not what I say, but what God's word and plan says, the way that things change today is to, with an overt, and a choice, an act of your will, choose who you're going to serve. It's, in a sense, drawing that line in the sand when you recognize that the direction that you're headed is not what God's plan is right now. And saying, Lord, today I am making a definitive choice to stop this action, this attitude, whatever it is, Father, and I'm turning to the direction that I know that your desire is for my life. The same way that in salvation, that's the picture of Saul on the road to Damascus, drawing that line in the sand, turning and coming to faith in Jesus Christ, going to do God's will. It happens when you make those definitive choices. Is today a day when you're going to continue with the same old, and the old whatever happens, happens? The old Russian roulette? Not Russian roulette, we call that slot. One of those things. Slot machine, you know, whatever happens, or are you going to recognize what's not right today and say, God, I want my life, my home, my family, my workplace, and everything to be a reflection of your glory, and I realize right now I'm out of step with it. You might even be at the place where you go, I don't even know how to begin to get there. If you're there, you're at a great place because you recognize the most important thing, which is I am not where I should be. My question to you today is, hey, all you've got to do is look at the obituaries, friends. It's fired up right now in every city, state, and country all over the world. The old saying, funeral homes, people are dying to get into them. Every single one is just about full. Oh, you think everything's okay and you just, my question is, we are one heartbeat, every one of us, I don't care if you're sick right now or not, one heartbeat away from that time that has been divided. The Bible says, our days are appointed before the foundations of the world. We're one heartbeat away from a meeting with the God that created you, the God that sent Jesus to die for you, and the God that either you'll stand before robed in Christ's righteousness, having the blood of Jesus paying your sin debt, or we will stand before him to feel the full weight of our own sin and the consequences of which is separated from God. My question to you is, do you know him as your Lord, your Savior, your King? Could you say to me right now, Brother Jonathan, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know Jesus Christ. I have repented of my sin. I know that time in my life, I can point to that day, I'll never forget it, when I recognize that and I recognize that Jesus Christ was the bridge, God overwhelmingly helped me understand my sinful condition. And that day, I professed Christ as Lord. I was at a church and I stood up, or I was at that guy's house and she led me to Christ, he led me to Christ, and I'll never forget what God did in my heart. And I went and I got baptized, showed the world what Jesus Christ had done in me, proclaiming to the world the new creation that God had created in me. Or you're sitting there right now going, I haven't done that, but I want to do that. If that's you, I pray you don't leave this building without getting what needs the most important decision you will ever make, making sure that you know Jesus Christ, not only in knowledge, but it is transcended and changed in a personal relationship with him and a heart change. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. This world is passing away, but the things of the Lord are eternal. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, this morning. Father, thank you that your word gives us clear direction.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.